إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فهذه إخواني في الله المحاضرة الأخيرة في هذا الملتقى العلمي من هذا المؤتمر السنوي الذي نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يعظم فيه النفع والأجر لنا ولكم أجمعين. ومحاضرتنا لهذا اليوم بعنوان ضوابط الجرح والتعديل، وهي محاضرة علمية متخصصة، ولست أريد بها الجرح والتعديل فقط بصورته النظرية التي كتب فيها أهل العلم المتقدمون ومارسوها في مؤلفاتهم وفي نقدهم للرواة والمرويات، وإن كان هذا جزءا لا يتجزأ من ذاك لأنه ذو صلة قوية به، ولكني سأتكلم عن الجرح والتعديل باعتباره علما متجددا وعلما حيويا، وإن شئتم أن تسموه إنه العلم الحارس للعلوم وللدين ولسنة سيد المرسلين صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلكم أن تسموه هذه التسمية. فمحاضرتنا إذن متعلقة بالجرح والتعديل وتطبيقاته المعاصرة وما ينبني عليه من أصول علمية وأسس منهجية.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، أبو الشيخ أبو الحارث الحلبي حفظه الله تعالى، he began, إخوان, by saying some of the ayats and verses of خطبة الحاجة, and then he said, brothers and sisters, today's lecture is going to be, and this is the last lecture of the knowledge-based lectures that have been given in this annual conference. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this lecture to make what we're going to talk about beneficial, and also to provide for us the reward that comes thereof. And we're going to talk about, inshaAllah, in this lecture, the dawabit of al-jarh wa ta'deel, some of the principles and the foundations and the things that we need to know as it relates to the science of al-jarh wa ta'deel, making critique and praising people. This lecture, therefore, Ikhwan, is a specific lecture that is knowledge-based. It is academic. He said that when we talk about the dawabit of al-jarh wa ta'deel, we do not want, it is not our intent to deal with this issue from the angle of what the ulama have written in their books a long time ago when they were criticizing the narrators and the narration. And no doubt that aspect of al-jarh wa ta'deel that was done a long time ago and it was committed to writing by the ulama, this is a very important aspect of this science, but we're not going to talk about it from that angle. The angle that we're going to talk about it is from the i'tibar, or from the angle and the consideration that it is a science that has been renewed today, and it is in usage today, and it has been renewed and it is being used today in order to do what? In order to be the hardest, in order to protect and to safeguard the sciences of the religion. And it has been renewed in order to safeguard the sunnah of the Sayyid al-Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So the Shaykh went on to say, it is the contemporary usage of this science that we are going to expound upon as it relates to the dawabit of al-jarh wa ta'dil.
فأول ما نذكره في هذا الباب أصل مهم، وهو أن هذا العلم، علم الجرح والتعديل، علم مستمر وجوده إلى يوم القيامة. لا نقول هو علم انقضى بانقضاء فترة تدوين السنة والأحاديث، ولا نقول هو علم يزول وينتهي أمده بوقت معين أو في زمان معين، بل هو علم مستمر إلى يوم القيامة، لأن فيه كما قلت معنى الحراسة والصيانة والحماية لهذا الدين في جميع فروعه وفي كافة تفصيلاته. حتى قال بعض أهل العلم: لولا حملة المحابر وأصحاب الدفاتر لخطبت الزنادقة على المنابر. لماذا؟ لأنهم يبينون أن هذا محق وهذا مبطل، هذا سني وهذا مبتدع. لذلك النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث العرباض بن سارية ماذا قال؟ قال: وعليكم بسنتي، إنه من يعش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. هذا هو الداء. ما هو الدواء؟ فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي، عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. ثم ما هي الحماية والوقاية؟ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. لا يمكن أن تعرف المبتدع من السني ولا المبطل من المحق إلا بعلم الجرح والتعديل، الذي هو علم مستمر وجوده بضوابطه وأصوله إلى يوم القيامة.
After that, Ikhwan, the Sheikh said the very first thing that we're going to address right now, and the first point in it is a critical point and an extremely important point, and that is that this knowledge, this science, the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil, it is a continual science that will be present all the way up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah. The Sheikh, he went on to say, this science of al-jarh wa ta'dil, it did not discontinue after the Sunnah and the Hadith had its tadween. When they brought the Sunnah and the Hadith together and it was complete, we do not understand that with the completion of the bringing together of that process, that the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil has been completed. Nor do we say, Ikhwan, that the knowledge of the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil has been completed at a particular time, whatever that time may happen to be. And that is because this science, al-ilm al-jarh wa ta'dil, it is the hirasa of the religion and the siyan of the deen and the himaya, which are all synonyms basically that mean they protect, it protects and safeguards the religion with all of its branches and parts. And that's why the people of knowledge, they used to say, had it not been for the carriers of the ink, and had it not been for the people who carry their notebook, meaning the people of knowledge, had it not been for the carriers of the ink and the people who carry the dafatir, the papers and the notebooks, then the zanadiqa, the heretics, would have been the people who would have gotten control of the minbar. Those people who don't deserve to talk would have been the ones who were speaking. Because the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil, critiquing people and praising people, the Sheikh said this science is the science that allows us to come to know who is on the haq and who is the one who is on batil, falsehood. It helps us to know who is on the sunnah and who was on innovation. And it is as the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiyallahu anhu, verily those who live from amongst you and you live a long time, you're going to see a lot of ikhtilaf, so therefore take my sunnah. The Sheikh, he stopped there. He said the ikhtilaf that the Prophet mentioned here sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the disease. This is the sickness. This is that the problem that Rasulullah spoke about. He said, so take my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. He said, and this is the medication for that sickness. The ikhtilaf is the sickness, and the medication for the sickness is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of the khulafa ar-rashideen. And then he said to the people sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and beware of the newly invented matters in the religion, because every newly invented matter is astray, and every going astray is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah leads to the hellfire. The Shaykh said this aspect of the hadith, beware of the innovative matters. He said this is the himaya, or the protection that the Prophet is talking about sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is what we're talking about here today, al-jarh wa ta'dil. So he said, it is not possible for us to come and know the difference between the mubtadi' and the person who was on the sunnah, nor the person who was on the haq and the person who was on the batil, except by way of the science of critiquing and the science of at-ta'dil, which is praising.
وأما النقطة الثانية فهي أن هذا العلم بدقائقه وتفصيلاته وقدره علم من بين العلوم الشرعية، له قدره وله حظه وله موضعه الذي لا نتجاوز به قدره، لا غلوا نجعله أعلى العلوم وأجلها وأرفعها بحيث لا نتكلم إلا فيه، لا نستيقظ إلا عليه، ولا ننام إلا إليه، ولا نقصر فيه ونقصر به بحيث لا نعطيه قدره ونقلل من شأنه ولا نلتفت إليه، والحق بين هذا وذاك، من غير غلو يفسد، ولا من غير تقصير يبعد، وإنما بالحق على قاعدة الحق.
The second point, Ikhwan, that the Shaykh has made mention of is that point number two, this science, this knowledge, ilm al-jarh wa ta'dil, with all of its details, its daqa'iq and its tafasil, all of its details and branches, this is one of the sciences from the many sciences of this religion. It is one of the sciences of the many sciences. So therefore, it is incumbent upon us to give this science its qadr, to give it its right place, to give it its hum, to give it its portion, and to give its mawdu', its subject matter, attention. So the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil is one of the sciences of many sciences. So we have to look at it, and we give it its proper place, we give it its concern and consideration, and we pay attention to its subject matter. We should not go overboard in it as it relates to giving it what we just mentioned. We shouldn't, number one, have ghulu in it, where you go overboard and you exceed the bounds. You make it the end of it all. The part is everything for an individual. All our kalam is in it. We wake up on it. We go to sleep on it. It's all that we concern ourselves with. He said, no, we don't give it that level of consideration. And in contrast, we also don't make the taqseer in it. We don't look at it as being insignificant. And as a result of that, we don't give it its due consideration. We don't pay attention to it. We don't look at it. But we have to be between these two extremes. The haq is to give it its proper consideration. And what is wrong is to go overboard in it or to be under in it. But the haq can be found between these two extremes.
أما النقطة الثالثة فهي أن لهذا العلم أهلا وحملة، وإن له رجالا، وليس كل من دخله صار من أهله، ولأولئك الأهل وهؤلاء الحملة شروط وصفات. أولها الدين والتقوى، وإلا فإن غير ذي الدين وغير ذي التقوى فيتكلم بالهوى ويتكلم بالظن ويتكلم بالخبط والتشويش، يتكلم بالمصلحة الشخصية، يؤخر مصلحة الشرع ومصلحة الدين. أما الشرط الثاني فالعلم والمعرفة، حتى لو كان ذا دين وتقوى لكنه ليس ذا معرفة وليس ذا علم، فإنه قد يظن الخطأ صوابا والصواب خطأ، وبالتالي قد يبني على باطل وهو يحسب أنه من المحسنين صنعا. فإذا كان ذا علم ومعرفة فإن هذا العلم والمعرفة يكفيانه في دفع الشبهة، كما أن الدين والتقوى يحجزانه عن أن يقع في الشهوة، ويحوط ذلك كله العدل والإنصاف. لا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا، اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. فالعدل والإنصاف بعدم الظلم والبعد عن الجور ومقارفة الصواب، كل ذلك أركان مهمة في صفات هذا المجرح أو المعدل. وكلامنا عن العدل والإنصاف لا يجوز أن يوقعنا في غلط آخر نحن نحذر منه، وهو مدح أهل البدع وذكر حسناتهم بزعم أن هذا عدل أو إنصاف. لا، فإن هذا منهج الموازنات المبتدع أو المبتدع الذي ترتفع به رؤوس أهل البدع وتعلو رايتهم، وهم أهل دائما لأن يكونوا في زوال وفي اضمحلال وفي غاية الإذلال، أعاذنا الله وإياكم.
After that, Ikhwan, the Sheikh, he went on to say the next point, point number three, concerning ilm al-jarh wa ta'deel, is that this science and this knowledge, it has its people. It has its rijal, its men, and its hamala, those people who are responsible for it. Not a science for any and everybody. It is not a science that whoever enters into it and he begins to occupy himself with it, suddenly he becomes of those people who are qualified. The science of al-jarh wa ta'deel, it has it qualified people who take responsibility for it and who are of it. And these people who are the rijal of this science, there are some conditions and there are some characteristics that have to be with inside of them. The first characteristic that they have to have, the people who are the qualified ones for jarh wa ta'deel, is characteristic number one, they have to have the deen and taqwa. They have to have deen and a taqwa. The Shaykh said, if a person doesn't have the deen and the taqwa, then he's going to make the jarh and the ta'deel, and he's going to speak based upon his desires, based upon speculation. He's going to speak and he's going to make tashweesh, he's going to make problems. He's going to speak, and when he speaks because of personal benefit. بَمَصْلَحَ شَخْصِيَّةً. His personal benefit. So that's the first characteristic. The second characteristic of the person who talks about the jarh wa ta'deel is he has to have ilm and ma'rifah. He has to have knowledge and comprehension. He has to know what he's talking about. So that individual can be saved from a number of things. It is well known that if the individual who's speaking about a jarh wa ta'deel, if he has the deen and the taqwa, but he doesn't have ma'rifah, he doesn't have knowledge, he has deen and taqwa but he doesn't have knowledge, then what will happen is he'll make decisions and statements and he'll take positions thinking that he's saying what's right, but in fact it's wrong because he doesn't have knowledge. He'll think what is batil is the haq and what is haq is the batil. So therefore, Ikhwan, the knowledge, what will it do? It will push away and it will protect the one who has the knowledge. It will push away the shubha. The right is wrong, the wrong is right. Knowledge will push that away. The shubha of not seeing the affairs correctly. And the deen and the taqwa. If an individual has that, a deen and taqwa will push away from him shahwa, talking based upon his desires, talking based upon speculation. When he has these characteristics, ad-deen at-taqwa, ilm al-ma'rifah, then as a result of that, the natija and the result of having that is there will be adl and insaf. He will be fair and just. As Allah has mentioned in the Quran, and Allah has commanded with in the book, when he said, and do not let a people's oppression towards you cause you to be oppressive, but have be adilu, be fair, be just. This is closer to at-taqwa. The Sheikh, he went on to say that these things that we've mentioned, these characteristics, they are arkan, they are principles that are extremely important as it relates to the person who is the one who's going to make the jarh and the one who's going to make the ta'deel. These characteristics are important for the mujarrih and for the mu'addil. He said, now there's another point that we can't fail to mention, and that is when we talk about the importance of al-adl wal-insaf, being fair and just, we have to be careful of falling into another mistake and another problem, a misconception that people have. When we talk about being fair and just, that doesn't mean that we should understand that we praise the people of innovation and we mention their hasanat and the good things that they did, calling this fairness and justice. The Sheikh said this is a minhaj that is deviant, the minhaj of al-mawazanat, and this minhaj is a deviation. But what we have to do is we have to be fair and just with the proper meaning and understanding of fair and just as it relates to the one who is making the jarh and the one who is making the ta'deel.
وأما النقطة الرابعة فهي أن هنالك من يدخل هذا العلم لينظر فيه ويمارس جزءا منه، وهذا غير المجرح نفسه، فالداخل في هذا العلم للنظر فيه لابد له من شرطين. أما أولهما فمعرفة الجارح وإدراك حقيقته وموقعه، أهو متساهل أم متشدد أم منضبط؟ ليس كل جارح كالآخر، بل إن الجارحين منهم من يقبل قوله ومنهم من لا يقبل. وألف الإمام الذهبي كتابا سماه ذكر من يعتمد قوله في الجرح والتعديل. إذن هنالك من لا يعتمد قولهم، لماذا؟ لأنهم إما متساهل وإما متشدد، فالذين يعتمد قولهم هم المنضبطون. لابد من معرفة هذا للداخل في هذا العلم، وإلا فإنه سيجد تناقضا عظيما، سيجد المتساهل وسيجد المتشدد وسيجد المنضبط، وسيرى في الراوي أو في الإنسان ثلاثة أو أربعة أقوال، ماذا يفعل وماذا ومن يقدم وماذا يقبل وماذا يرد. فلابد من معرفة الجارح وموقعه من هذا العلم. والأمر الثاني لابد من معرفة الجرح، أهو قادح أم غير قادح. فليس كل من قدح بقدح ما كان هذا القدح مقبولا به، فبعض الناس قد يجرح بما ليس جرحا. مثلا كانوا يجرحون في عدالة من يأكل في الشارع، هذا ليس جرحا، فإذا جرح بهذا الجرح بعض أهل العلم هذا لا يقبل. إذن لابد من معرفة الجرح، هو جرح قادح أم غير قادح. ولما كان هذان الأمران وهذان الأصلان، أعني معرفة الجارح ومعرفة الجرح، هما ركني هذا العلم، كان لابد من أصل ثالث، وهو ثبوت هذا الجرح عن ذلك الجارح. لأنه من الممكن أن ينقل قول ولا يكون هذا القول صحيحا من حيث النسبة، فلابد أن نتثبت، هل ثبت هذا الجرح عن هذا الجارح في هذا المجروح، أو هذا التوثيق من هذا العالم عن هذا الثقة أو في هذا الثقة؟ فقضية الثبوت في هذا العلم مهمة. لذلك أهل العلم في كتبهم يقول ولا يثبت جرح فلان عن فلان، فألف الذهبي كتابا سماه الرواة المتكلمون، الرواة المتكلم فيهم بما لا يوجب الرد، الرواة المتكلم فيهم بما لا يوجب الرد. وله كتاب آخر سماه ذكر من تكلم فيه وهو موثق، يعني أن هذا الكلام الذي فيه لا يؤبه له، إما لعدم ثبوته وإما لعدم صواب الجرح والقدح فيه. نعم.
Number four, Ikhwan, and Ahmad. Number four, Ikhwan, point number four. The Sheikh said, we find that there is an individual who wants to enter into this knowledge of a jarh wa ta'dil, to look in it, to make the mumarasa, and to start to deal with it. And this is a very important issue that we need to understand as it relates to criticizing people and making disparaging remarks or the jarh against people. There has to be two conditions that you have to consider, two points, two issues that need to be considered as it relates to the whole concept of a jarh and criticizing. He said the first thing is, for the person who wants to start looking in this issue, the first thing is he has to know about the criticizer, the jarih, the one who is doing the criticizing. You have to know about him. You have to know where does he stand in the scales and what's his position. Who is he? Is he a person who is mutasahil, or is he a person who is mutashaddid? Is he easy? Does he easily criticize? Does he criticize people and he's rough, he's easy to criticize? You have to know. Is he a person who's mutasahil? It takes a lot for him to criticize. Or is he mutashaddid? He's very strict. If you don't know these things, you won't be able to find out the idraq of the haqiqah of the situation. You won't be able to determine the reality of his criticism. Because, ikhwan, every jarih, every person who criticizes, he isn't always right. And you do not always have to accept what his statement is. And for this reason, the proof of that is Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He wrote a book. He wrote a number of books that the Sheikh mentioned. The first book that he mentioned in this place is the book of Al-Dhahabi that is called The Mentioning of Those Who Are Relied Upon in Ajarh wa Ta'dil. He wrote a book, The Mentioning of Those People Who Their Statements Are Relied Upon in Ajarh wa Ta'dil. So we understand from that there are those people who we don't rely upon them in Ajarh wa Ta'dil. Because the one who wants to make the mumarisa, and he wants to get involved in this knowledge, and he wants to learn about it, he can find tanaqadat, contradictions, from different criticizers, from different people who are talking. He'll find concerning one narrator, the kalam is about one man who's a narrator. You'll find the jarih who is shadid, mutashaddid, he'll give his ruling on one narrator. And then the person who's mutasahil, he'll come and give the opposite ruling on that individual. And then the one who is mumdabat, the one who is in the middle, he combines between the two extremes, he gives a third ruling concerning that same narrator. So you'll see three different rulings for one narrator. When you get involved in the science, which one are you going to follow? So the Sheikh said it is important that we understand this point. You have to know who the criticizer is. The second point, and Ikhwan, this is the second point to point number four. Point number four is, the person who wants to get inside of the knowledge, he has to know about the jarih. So there are two points you need to know about the criticizers. Number one, where is he? Is he mutashaddid? Is he mutasahil? Is he mumdabit? The second point you need to know about the jarih is, you have to have the marifa of the jarh itself. You have to have knowledge of the criticism, the actual criticism that's being made. Because everything that is said about an individual by way of criticizing him is not always true. And it doesn't have to be accepted. Some people are criticized, the jarh, The disparaging remark, the statement is made on some people and it's batil. They are criticized with what is not correct. For an example, in the past, there were some of the criticizers who would criticize a man because he would eat in the shari'. He would eat in the street. So he would be criticized for that. The sheikh said a person doesn't deserve necessarily to be criticized because he was seen to be eating in the street. So you have to know what, you have to know about the criticism itself. He said, now these two points that we just mentioned, you have to know the jarih and you have to know the jarh. He said, these two points necessitate something else. They necessitate a third thing. Because of the presence of these two and the need of these two, it brings necessarily a third thing, and that is, we have to know that the criticism of the jarih is something that he actually said. So the jarih himself, the one who was criticizing, you have to know, did he really say what he is being, what's being attributed to him and connected to him? So you have to know, ikhwan, this jarih, the criticizer, did he really say that about that person who was criticized? And the opposite holds true as well. You have to know, this person, the tawfiq, when a scholar says something good and he praises a person by saying he's thiqa, you have to know, is it established what was attributed to that person? That scholar said he was thiqa? So those are the three points. The sheikh, he went on to say, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, again, he wrote a book. And the name of his book is, The Narrators Who Were Criticized With What They Didn't Deserve. The first book was the narrators, those people who you depend on their criticism. The second book, the narrators who were criticized, but they were criticized with what they didn't deserve. The sheikh, he said, and he wrote another book, a third book. The narrators who were criticized, and they were criticized correctly. الكتاب الثالث ذكر من تقول ما فيه وهو موثق. The third book that Al-Imam al-Zahabi wrote, those narrators who were criticized and they had the tawfiq, they were the people who, they were thiqa. The sheikh said the reason why he wrote that third book is because it wasn't established what they were criticized for, because it wasn't, they, what was attributed to the people who criticized them wasn't established, or they were criticized with what was not the haq, the adam of thubut, or what was said wasn't the haq. Now,
ولهذا العلم قواعده الدقيقة وأصوله العميقة لا ينبغي الدخول فيه من غير معرفة هذه القواعد. لا جرحا وتعديلا ولا نظرا أو ممارسة. فالداخل في هذا العلم من غير معرفة القواعد كالذي يدخل معركة من غير سلاح. فأول ذلك أو من أهم ذلك أن الجرح مقدم على التعديل إذا كان هذا التعديل مفسر، إذا كان هذا الجرح مفسرا، لأن مع الجارح زيادة علم، بمعنى أن عالمين اختلفا في راو، أحدهما قال هذا ثقة والآخر قال هذا مجروح أو ضعيف، فأيهما نقدم؟ هنالك صور. الصورة الأولى أن يكون هذا الجرح مفسرا مبين السبب، بأن يقول هذا مجروح لأنه مدلس، هذا مجروح لأنه سيء الحفظ، فحينئذ هذا الجرح مفسر ومبين فيقدم على التعديل الذي هو أصلا مبهم. لما نقول ثقة هذا إبهام يعني بدون بينة، فيقدم حينئذ الجرح. إذا نظرنا في هذا الجرح وهذا التعديل في هذا الراوي نفسه فوجدنا أن الجرح مبهم، قال هذا ضعيف بدون أن يبين سبب الضعف، فهل يقبل؟ لا يقبل، وإنما يقدم حينئذ التعديل، لأن هذا الجرح المبهم غير المفسر لا يقوى على رد هذا التعديل الذي هو أصل مستقل بذاته. الأمر الثالث أنه ليس كل راو جرح بشيء من الجرح يرد كل حديثه، فهنالك بعض أنواع الجرح يعني تكون مقيدة، مثلا الراوي المدلس، التدليس جرح، لكنه ليس كل ما يرويه يرد به حديثه، فهناك ما لم يدلس به، هنالك من عرف بأنه لا يروي عن المدلس ما دلسه، الاختلاط، اختلاط العقل، هنالك رواه حصلت معهم حوادث أو كبروا في السن فساء حفظهم، فأهل العلم قالوا ما رووه قبل الاختلاط وسوء الحفظ يقبل، وما رووه بعد الاختلاط وسوء الحفظ لا يقبل. إذن ليس كل مجروح بأي جرح يرد حديثه بالكلية، وإنما لا بد من معرفة بعض الدقائق والتفصيلات في هذه القضية. الأمر الرابع أن اطلاع العالم القدير المحقق على الجرح المفسر وعدم قبوله له يجعل قوله أقوى وأثبت، لأنه حينئذ يكون معه زيادة علم حتى على المجرح، فإنه لم يقتنع أصلا بأن هذا جرح، فهذا حجته فيه أقوى. وأضرب على ذلك مثالا الإمام الذهبي. الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله في الميزان نقل تضعيف العقيلي لعلي بن المديني، فماذا قال؟ قال أما لك عقل يا عقيلي، أما لك عقل يا عقيلي، كيف تتكلم بعلي بن المديني؟ فاطلع على الجرح والجارح ثم لم يقبل هذا الجرح، وهذا جعل قول الإمام الذهبي أقوى، فسائر أهل العلم وافقوا الإمام الذهبي على رفض كلام العقيلي في علي بن المديني. نعم.
Okay, Ikhwan, we come to the next point that the Sheikh went into detail. And he said that the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil, it has its principles, it has its rules and its regulations, and it has its usul that are amiqa. It has its deep, deep principles and fundamentals. He said, no one should enter into this science without giving some consideration to these principles. And they are many, whether you're talking about the jarh or the ta'dil, whether you're looking at the issue or whether you're trying to work with the issue, you should pay attention and give due respect to these qawa'id. The qawa'id, whether they are dealing with you making jarh or you making ta'dil, as well as whether you're just looking at the issue from a theoretic point of view or you're actually getting involved working with it with the mumarisa, you have to pay attention and come to know about these usul, amiqa, and these qawa'id that are daqiqa, he said. The Sheikh said, if you don't do this, if a person chooses not to pay attention to these principles and he wants to get involved in this science, his similar tool is like the person who is going to participate and to engage in a war and he doesn't bring along with him his weapon. He's going to the war weaponless. So the most important of these affairs, these rules and these principles. And he said, some of the most important. Number one, the criticism that is explained, the jarh that is mufassar and mubayyan, it is given precedence over the ta'deel. The criticism, the disparaging mark, that is explained in detail, it is given precedence, it is taken over the praise that is given to a particular narrator. And the wisdom behind that, the reason behind that, is because when a person is criticized, the criticizer has additional knowledge that the one who praised him didn't have. when he criticizes him and he tells why he's criticized, that reason why he's criticized is additional knowledge that the one who praised him didn't have. That's why the one who praised him said praise. And the one who's criticizing is saying criticism based upon the additional knowledge. The Sheikh said, for an example, you have two scholars so that we can help you to understand. You have two scholars. One scholar, he says the person is thiqa. He's reliable. This is the ta'dil. Another scholar says he's da'if. He's weak. This is the criticism. The Sheikh said that this thing of a scholar saying good and a scholar saying bad, a scholar criticizing and a scholar praising, a scholar making ta'dil, a scholar making jarh, the Sheikh said this has a number of situations. Practical situations, so that we'll understand this first principle, that the jarh, that is detail, is giving precedence over the ta'dil. The first example is, you get someone who criticizes someone with detail. His jarh is mufassar and is mubayyin. He gives the reason why. For an example, they say he's da'if because he's mudallis. They explain why he's da'if. He's da'if because he's mudallis. Or he's da'if because he has a bad memory. This is the jarh that is explained. So therefore it is given precedence over the one, preference over the one who just says he's thiqa. Because now the one is saying that this person is a mudallis or he has bad memory. Whereas the man who says, the scholar who says he's thiqa, that's a general term that's ambiguous. It's just ambiguous. But when you said he has tadlis or he has bad memory, you have given an addition in knowledge. So therefore that is given preference and precedence over the ta'dil. Ikhwan the Sheikh, he went on to say, if we look at the man who was praised in this case, and we find a person who is praised, he is thiqa, and then the other scholar said that he was da'if, and he didn't explain why he was da'if. When did that start? The Sheikh said, okay, after explaining that, the jarh, that is mufassar, mubayyin, is given precedence and preference over the ta'dil. And he explained why. There's the that he is da'if, and he doesn't give the reason why. The jarh isn't mufassar, and it's not mubayyin. Then in this case, the ta'dil is given precedence over the jarh, because the jarh is not detailed. We don't know why. And there's no way in the world that a non-detailed jarh can gain strength over the ruling of the ta'dil of that particular narrator. The third affair. So the first one, the ta'dil, the precedence of the jarh mufassar over the ta'dil. The second point is, if you have a ta'dil and a jarh, and the jarh is not mufassar, the ta'dil is given precedence over the jarh. The third point, ikhwan, a narrator who has been criticized, juriha, a person who has been criticized, an individual who has been criticized for one reason or another, if he is criticized, that doesn't mean that all of his narrations and all of his good should be thrown away. It doesn't mean that. But instead we find the scholars, the competent, responsible scholars of this science, they make his jarh muqayyid. They make it conditional. They make it muqayyid. For an example, they'll say, he is tadlis. That's the jarh. He's tadlis. But he doesn't make tadlis on everyone. He makes tadlis on this one and that one and that one. The other people he doesn't make tadlis on. And there are some people, for an example, who were known never to make a tadlis. The point is, if a narrator is criticized, a person is criticized, that doesn't mean, just because he was criticized in this issue, that all of his narrations are to be thrown away and there is no good to be derived. Another example of that is the ikhtilaf that may happen to a narrator. The ikhtilat is, at one time, he was good, he was strong, he was precise. And then because of an accident, because of old age, he started getting mixed up in what he said. Because of an accident that happened to him, or because of old age, he started mixing up what his positions were and what he was saying. So there were found to be some problems. The people of knowledge, they make his narration muqayyada. They say what he spoke about and what he did before the ikhtilat took place is accepted. And what he narrated and what he said after the ikhtilat took place, then it's rejected. So simply because he had ikhtilat and he changed later on, they don't throw away everything that went before of the good. So everything that a person with majruh says is not necessarily thrown away. That's the third point. So as you can see, Ikhwan, we need to come to know about these detailed issues. These issues of precision, the daqa'iq of this knowledge. Point number four. Principle number four. If a scholar who made ta'deel of an individual, a scholar, an alim, he made ta'deel of an individual, he finds that there's another scholar who made jarh of that individual. And that scholar who made ta'deel, he looked at the jarh of the jarih, he looked at the criticism of the criticizer, and he rejected it. Then precedent is given to the one who made the ta'deel over the one who made the jarh. His position is aqwa, is stronger. And the Shaykh explained why. He already explained it before, but it is applicable now. If a narrator is criticized by a criticizer, and it is detailed, and another scholar said that he was good, he praised him and gave him ta'deel, and he read the criticism of the criticizer as it relates to that narrator, the position of the scholar who made ta'deel, the mu'addil, his position is accepted because he looked at what the jarih, the criticizer said, and the criticizer has the ziyadatul ilm. He has the extra knowledge that the one who gave ta'deel doesn't have. So when the mu'addil looks at what he said, he gets the ziyada of that knowledge, and he remains upon what he was upon. So therefore, his position is the position that is given precedence because he has knowledge of the ziyada that the criticizer was given. An example of this is what happened with Al-Imam Al-Zahabi in his book Al-Mizan. وَلَيْسَ أَبُوْ أُسَامَ الْزَهَبِي. The Shaykh said, أَنَا أَبُوْ أُسَامَ الْهِلَالِ neither. Al-Imam Al-Zahabi wrote a book, in his book Al-Mizan. He mentioned what a famous scholar did, and that was Al-Imam Al-Uqili. Al-Imam Al-Uqili, he criticized Al-Imam Ali Al-Madini. He criticized him. Al-Zahabi wrote in his book Al-Mizan that Al-Uqili criticized Ali Al-Madini. When Al-Zahabi mentioned this, he said to Al-Imam Al-Uqili in his book Al-Mizan, Ya Uqayli, which comes from Aql. His name, Al-Uqayli, comes from Aql. He said, Ya Uqayli, don't you have some intelligence? Meaning, how can you talk about Al-Imam Ali Madini? How can you criticize Ali Al-Madini? So the Shaykh went on to explain. In this case, we have Al-Imam Al-Uqayli criticizing Ali Madini. Al-Zahabi gets the opportunity and the ability to read the ziyadatul ilm that Al-Uqayli has, and he rejects that. So now that ziyada, that additional knowledge is with Al-Imam Al-Zahabi. So now Al-Zahabi's position as it relates to Ali Al-Madini is aqwa, is stronger. So the Shaykh went on to explain, Ikhwan, that this is the concept and this is this particular principle and how we understand it.
النقطة السادسة إذا اختلف عالمان في الجرح والتعديل في راو واحد، عالم يقول ثقة والآخر يقول غير ثقة، لابد كما ذكرنا من النظر في القواعد السابقة، الجرح مفسر والتعديل المبهم وما أشبه ذلك. فالناس أمام هذا الاختلاف صنفان: إما مميز يعرف المسائل بدلائلها، وإما غير مميز، يعني ليس عنده الأهلية العلمية التي تجعله يميز أن هذا القول هو الصحيح أم أن ذاك القول هو الصحيح. فالمميز ينظر الأدلة، ينظر أدلة هذا العالم وذاك حتى يأخذ الأرجح حجة والأقوى دليلا. فعند الاختلاف البرهان العلمي هو دليل الصدق ودليل الصواب. لا يجوز أن نقول والله هذا العالم عمره 90 عاما وذاك عمره 60، إذن صاحب 90 أقوى من صاحب 60، هذا ليس علما. أو أن نقول هذا العالم معه دكتوراه وذاك العالم ليس معه دكتوراه وصاحب الدكتوراه يقدم، ليس علما. لأن مشايخنا الأكابر في هذا الزمان، الشيخ الألباني والشيخ ابن عثيمين والشيخ ابن باز، جميعا ليس واحد منهم معه دكتوراه، وتلاميذهم بل تلاميذ تلاميذهم معهم دكتوراه ودكتورات كثيرة. إذن الحجة العلمية هي التي تجعل هذا القول هو الصواب، ولو كان من الأقل عمرا أو الأدنى شهرة، بل حتى من الأقل علما، لأنك قد تجد الأقل علما في بعض القضايا يصيب أكثر من غيره. وكم من مسألة رجع فيها أهل العلم الأكابر بناء على توصيات أو نصائح أو توجيهات تلاميذهم أو أبنائهم. أما إذا لم يكن ذا أهلية علمية فماذا يفعل؟ يقلد. والتقليد هو اتباع القول من غير دليل، لكن هذا لمن؟ لفاقد الأهلية، لغير المميز. له أن يقلد هذا العالم في جرحه أو ذاك العالم في تعديله، ولكن بشرط ألا يجاوز بهذا التقليد نفسه، يعني يقلد ويرضى بأنه هذا العالم بينه وبين الله وأخذ حكمه من غير دليله، لكن لا أن يجعل نفسه ناقلا لهذا الحكم وناشرا له وناصرا إياه. فهذا حكمه التقليد، وحكم المقلد لا يتجاوز به نفسه ولا يتعدى به غيره. فهذا خلط قد يقع عند كثير من الناس، إذا بالمقلد أصبح ينصر هذا القول ويشيعه ويوالي ويعادي عليه وهو مقلد، وليس هذا من العلم في شيء. نعم.
أبتلان إخوانا والشيخ أبو الحارث الحلبي حفظه الله تعالى وأبقاه الله لنا. He said point number 6: if you had إخوان, two scholars differing and having اختلاف as it relates to one narrator in الجرح والتعديل, one narrator, one scholar says he's ثقة and another scholar says other than that he's not ثقة. The Sheikh said when you have this case scenario you have to look at the issue based upon the principles that we have mentioned already: the جرح مفسر, the جرح مبين. We have to look and we have to consider the مبهم and what's going on, what is he being criticized for. We look at the details. He went on to say as it relates to the people in this case scenario, two scholars take two varying positions. We want to talk about the people now. The people want to make the mumarisa and they want to work with this knowledge and look at this knowledge. You have two groups. The first group are those people who are mumayyiz. Mumayyiz, they have the ability to make tamyiz. They have the ability to look and to understand the issue. They can comprehend what's going on. The scholar who said thiqa, and why? He understands. The scholar who said da'if, or he disparaged them, we understand why. He is mumayyiz. That's the first group. The second group of people, as it relates to the two scholars who take two varying positions, are the people who are غير المميزين. Those people, they don't have the ability to look at the issues and to know. They don't have the scholastic aptitude to determine the difference between that scholar's statement and that scholar's statement. What's authentic, what's not authentic. What's the truth and what's not the truth. They don't have the ability. He said, as for the first group, the mumayyiz, the one who has the ability, the scholastic aptitude and ability to look at what's being said, to judge it, he does his best when he looks at the affair to find what is arjah, which one of the two statements is arjah. He looks at which one has the strongest dalil and he takes it and he follows that. And ikhwan, the haq, the truth in our religion is known by the dalil that has the sifq connected to it, the real dalil. That's how the haq is known. It is not permissible for us to come to a conclusion and to make a determination in an issue based upon frivolous ideas. For an example, you have people who make positions like this. Here are these two scholars differing. One says thiqa, one says other than that. So the person who looks at the issue, he says, well, that scholar is 90 years old and that scholar is 60 years old. Because he's 90, I'm taking his position. Sheikh said, you can't make, that's not knowledge. Another person will come and say, well, that scholar, he has a doctor's degree, and that scholar there, he doesn't have a PhD, he doesn't have a doctor's degree, so I'm taking the one who has the doctor's degree, the PhD. Sheikh said, this is not what we were taught by the kibar of the ulama who taught us, the contemporary ones who lived with us. And another thing, الشيخ الألباني الشيخ ابن باز الشيخ ابن تيمين رحمهم الله تعالى, none of them have any doctor's degrees, none of them are possessors of PhDs, their students don't have PhDs and the students of their students don't have PhDs, so what is this thing about determining what's right, what's wrong based upon who has a PhD? The haq in our religion is known by the hujjah al-ilmiyah, the scholastic proofs. They determine what is correct. The determining factor in our religion as it relates to identifying the haq, it is not a person's age, old or young. It is not a person's popularity. He is popular, he's not popular. It is not determined by anything other than knowledge that is based upon the dalil. You may find, and this has happened a lot, that a younger person who's less known, you may find that a younger person will get the haq correct in an issue where the older person, he didn't. And how many times has this happened? That an older person, an older scholar, he recanted and changed and went back on his position because of something that his student brought to him by way of advice. Or maybe even his children brought that information to him, his awlad. So the Shaykh, he said, ikhwan, as it relates to the second group in this issue, the people who have the ability to make tamyiz and the people who don't have the ability, as it relates to the second group, those people who don't have the ability to look and to judge what's going on, the Shaykh said, what they have to do is they have to make taqleed. They have to choose and they have to make taqleed. They make taqleed of the statement of the scholar. And a taqleed, ikhwan, is following the position of someone, following someone's position and his statement, and you don't know where he got that statement from and why he took that position. You're just following him. But the second group, ikhwan, he makes taqleed, and his taqleed is conditional. What's the condition? He chooses one of the statements and he makes taqleed, and he remains within his own realm. He takes the position for himself and he stops there. It's only for him and he stops. He doesn't go and start explaining his position to the people. He makes it only for him. He doesn't go after taking his position and he starts to go between the people as a naqil. He's going to refer his position and give it to other people. He's going to be a nasir. He's going to stand in defense of his position. He's not a person who's going to spread his position. He takes his position and he stops right there and he has nothing to say. Unfortunately, during our time, many of the people who are the muqallidun, what they do is they take a position and they don't have the ability to discern and to make the tamyiz. They take a position and you see them defending and spreading and making wala and making bara. And they are muqallid, which means they have no knowledge. So the Shaykh said, this is not acceptable and it is not knowledge based.
وإذ قد ذكرت التقليد فلا بد من ذكر ضميمة أخرى إليه تفصيلا وبيانا، وهو ما يتعلق بوجوب العمل بخبر الثقة. فإذا أخبرنا ثقة بخبر ما فواجب أخذ خبره على وجه الثقة وواجب قبول هذا الخبر منه، ولكن يجب أن نفرق بين خبر الثقة عن شيء وحكم الثقة في شيء. فإذا قال لنا ثقة دخل الباب رجل، فالأصل أن نقبل قوله. فإذا قال هذا الثقة وهذا الرجل مبتدع، فهذا حكم خرج عن أن يكون خبرا، فلا بد أن نعرف. فإذا كان هذا الإنسان معروفا لدينا أنه ليس بمبتدع، فلا بد أن نسأل هذا الثقة عن حجته في أنه مبتدع. فإذا قبلت حجته قبل قوله، وإذا لم تقبل حجته على ما ذكرنا يرد قوله. وإما أن لا نكون عارفين له، فحينئذ نقبل قول هذا العالم الثقة الذي هو أهل لهذه الثقة، لأنه علم ما لم نعلم، لأنه علم ما لم نعلم. فكثير من الناس يخلطون بين خبر الثقة وحكم الثقة، ثم يجعلون ذلك كله في باب آخر غير باب التقليد، والأصل التفصيل على ما ذكرت وبينت.
هذا واضح. The Sheikh, he asked me, was it clear what he just said? And I told him it was very clear, because it is the same thing that the Sheikh Abu Usama Al-Hilali mentioned in the class of At-Taqlid, which is one of the better classes or lectures that we advise you to get. The Sheikh, he mentioned now, Ikhwan, Sheikh Abdul Harith, he mentioned, if we, as we have done, spoken about the Muqallid and the Taqlid, the one who can't discern what he should and shouldn't do. Since we mentioned that, we want to add to it another dhamima. We want to mention another criticize, another issue. And we want to explain this other issue, and that is the issue concerning the khabar of a thiqah, the news of one who is reliable. Accepting ana aslahtu ana kasabtu hadha wa qultu. The Shaykh, he said, concerning the khabar of the thiqa, if a thiqa, a reliable person, was to tell us some news, it is an obligation to accept it and to embrace it. But we have to make the distinction between the khabar of thiqa and the hukum of a thiqa. Has to be distinguished. There is a difference between the khabar, the news that is given by a thiqa, and a hukum, a ruling that is given by a thiqa. If a thiqa person gave us some news, like saying, he said, someone entered into that door, someone came in from that door, you didn't see it, you didn't know it, that's khabar. Someone came into the door over there. We accept and we embrace that khabar because he is a thiqa. But if a thiqa said, this man is a mubtadi', the Shaykh said that statement of the thiqa is a hukum, and there is a contrast and a big difference between that news and that hookup. How do we deal with this issue? The thiqa passes a hukum on an individual. The sheikh said, if the individual is known to us and by us that the thiqa has said something about that individual, we know him, and the thiqa passed a hukum. He didn't give khabar, he passed a hukum on this individual, and he's known by us and to us. We say to the thiqa, where's the dalil? Where's the proof? If the thiqa, he presents his hujjah and his dalil, and it is acceptable based upon what we mentioned already before, the principles. If we find that his criticism and his hukum has dalil and his knowledge base and support it, we have to accept and embrace it. But if the thiqa tells us about someone who we don't know, we don't know that individual, and the thiqa makes a hukum on an individual that we don't know, then we accept and we embrace his hukum because he's a thiqa and because he knows what we don't know. He has the additional knowledge now. If we don't know the individual that he's talking about, we embrace the hukum now and we accept it because he knows what we don't know about that particular individual. Sheikh said again, unfortunately, the people, they have some khalt. They mix up these issues and these affairs between the khabar al-hukm, between the khabar of the thiqa and the hukm of the thiqa. And we can't afford to mix them up. He said this is what has to be mentioned as it relates to the difference in the issue of a taqleed and as it relates to a taqleed.
ولما كان علماء الجرح والتعديل بشرا كسائر البشر كان لابد أن يقع منهم خطأ وصواب، وبالتالي فإن العالم الكبير ذا النبوغ والإمامة والألمعية والتقدم في الجرح والتعديل لا يصيب في كل شيء، فإنه بشر قد يخطئ، حتى من قيل فيه أمير المؤمنين في الحديث من كبار الكبار من أهل العلم أخطأوا وخطئوا، لأنهم ليسوا معصومين، والعصمة لأنبياء الله، وعليه فإنه لا يعادى ولا يوالى على كل قول عالم في كل قول يقوله، بل الولاء والبراء على الحق الذي مع هذا العالم، وإلا قلبنا دعوتنا إلى دعوة تقليد ودعوة إمعات ودعوة عمن، وهي دعوة علم وهدي وبصيرة. وهذا يجعلنا نبين النقطة الأخيرة، وهي أن خطأ هذا العالم أو ذاك بغض النظر عن مدى كبر قدره أو عظم أمره، مرة أو مرات في هذا الخطأ لا يلزم منه رد كلامه وتخطئته في كل ما قال. انظروا، هنالك مقابلة، العالم المتقدم الذي يغلب عليه الصواب لا يجوز أن نجعل كل قول من أقواله صوابا، والعالم الذي يخطئ الخطأ والخطأين والخمسة والعشرة لا يجوز أن نرد صوابه، فإذا أخطأ مرة أو مرتين قد يصيب مرة أو مرتين أو أكثر. وما هو الضابط في هذا كله؟ الحجة والبينة والبرهان. ولكن إذا غلب الخطأ وكان هو المستمر والمستقر بحيث كان هو الأكثر، فإن هذا سبيل يرد به هذا القول، ولا يعتبر هذا العالم أصلا ذا أهلية للأخذ بقوله في الجرح والتعديل، لأن خطأه غالب صوابه. ومع ذلك
فإذا وجدنا منه قولا ما يحمل حجة ما فرقابنا ذليلة لهذا الحق ونفوسنا بين يديه وعلى أعتابه. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
إخوان, the Sheikh, he went on to say the last point that we want to mention, inshallah. The ulama of al-jarh wa ta'dil, they are human beings. They are bashar, human beings. They make mistakes and they get it right. As a result of that, the scholar who is a major scholar and he has the true imam, he's a real imam, and he is uppermost and foremost in his scholarship and in the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil, you have to understand, he does not get it right all the time. Why? By virtue of the fact that he's a human being. Even if he happens to be one of the people who have been described as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, this is the highest level that a scholar can reach. In Hadith, he's been described as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, so he's from the Kabir of the Kibar of the Kibar. He's the big of the biggest of the biggest. And yet, he gets it right and he's going to get it wrong. Why? Because they don't have the infallibility that the Anbiya of Allah has. The Anbiya of Allah are ma'sumun and them alone. So based upon this fact, the Sheikh said, it is not permissible for us to make friends and enemies. We make enmity based upon every statement that a particular scholar he takes. And we make enemies based upon every statement that one particular scholar makes. Not permissible to make al-wala wal-bara on every statement that a particular scholar makes, because the haqq is not with one particular individual. If we were to do that, then no doubt our dawah becomes the dawah of at-taqlid. And our dawah becomes the dawah of al-imni'ah, which means like copycat. We just copying people, that's all. We're copycats. When in fact our dawah, this dawah, is the dawah of knowledge, is the dawah of huda, guidance, and it's the dawah of basira, knowledge base. The very last critical point that I want to make is the mistake that this scholar makes. He makes a mistake here, he makes a mistake there, he makes a mistake sometimes. That doesn't mean, ikhwan, as we mentioned, that because he made a mistake here or there, we throw away and we discard all of what he has to say. We don't do that. A scholar who is mutaqaddim, he is foremost and uppermost, a prolific scholar, the one who his good, his precision, his getting it right is his norm. He gets it right most of the time. When we hear and we look at what he has to say, he's right most of the time. That doesn't mean that every statement that he makes is correct. So the Sheikh, he said, pay attention to this point. Look at this point. The scholar who is uppermost, and he's imam, and he's from the Kabir, from the Kibar, usually when he speaks, he gets it right. But that doesn't mean he always gets it right, and he's going to always get it right. He's going to be wrong. And then the other scholar who, he makes mistakes. He has 3, 4, 5 mistakes here and there. That doesn't mean that that scholar never gets it right. So we have to be balanced in the issue. What is the determining factor between the two? The scholar who gets it right most of the time and the scholar who gets some things wrong, he's not always right and he's not always wrong. What's the determining factor? Where the haqq is? The Sheikh said, Whenever we find the hujjah and the dalil and the burhan with him or him, that is what determines for us the truth. The Sheikh said another thing, if there is a scholar though who we find consistently his khata, consistently he's getting it wrong, most of the time he's getting it wrong, then this is one of the things that would lead to his positions being rejected generally, because he's consistent in getting it wrong. And he has proven that he is not qualified and he is not competent to be of the people who talk about, for an example, adjust with the ideal, because his mistakes are so many. So he proves that against himself, and we come to know it. But even that individual who gets it wrong consistently, whenever we find that he got something right, and it's determined by the hujjah and the dalil and the burhan being connected and supporting what he says, then we take it and we put ourselves before him and we take that dalil. So the sheikh, he stopped right there.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu.
عندنا أكثر من شيء. ويقول عندنا how much time? 20 دقيقة. ربع ساعة. أنت قرأت هذه؟ وربع ساعة.
هذه؟
هذا السؤال يا شيخ في الواقع وليس
تفضل.
هناك بعض العلماء الإخوان الشباب هؤلاء يستفسرون هل لنا أن نشتغل مع الجهة التحديد أن نعاون علينا بدون جهة التحديد؟ أن سأسأل هؤلاء العلماء نعم لكم أن نشتغل بها هذا فهو
طب اسأل.
The question here is something that has happened recently with some of the youth in some of these well-known web pages and sites. Someone asked this question: what about the statement that we have heard from the scholars and we have read these things that have been posted? And these scholars, according to some of these brothers, they said that the scholars said that the youth should be involved in adjust with ideals. The question is, should these youth also have the knowledge that you are speaking of today? Is jarh wa ta'deel only for the ulama? Is the ilm jarh wa ta'deel al ulama faqat aw li kulli ahad? So what is the fatwa of these ulama for the shabab?
Al jawab min nuqtatayn. Al ula an al dawabit al ilmiyah li hadha al ilm al daqiq qad dhakarnaha وأجملنا في ذكرها ولم نفصل، فمن استوعب هذه الدقائق له أن يدخل في هذا العلم، ومن لا فلا، ومن قصر في شيء منها فهو مقصر في واقعه ومقصر في أحكامه ونتائجه. أما النقطة الثانية فليس كل مريد للخير مصيبا هذا الخير، بمعنى لو أن إنسانا ما قال لأحد أهل العلم هل لي أن أدخل في علم الطب؟ قال له العالم نعم لك أن تدخل في علم الطب، لكن تدخل في علم الطب تطبب بغير علم أم تتعلم علم الطب ثم تطبب؟ فالعالم عندما قال لك أن تدخل في الجرح والتعديل إذا عرفت أصوله وضوابطه وأركانه، أما أن تدخل فيه فالأمر كما قلنا قبل قليل كالساعي إلى الهيجة بغير سلاحي، وهذا أمر قبيح.
The Sheikh, he said here, concerning answering this question or this issue, we can answer it from two points. The first point is the ضوابط العلمية, the determining factors. We have mentioned generally the answer to this question in our presentation without getting into the details. There are details to the things that we have mentioned. We've given you the general concept. So the answer to the question is whoever has the ability, based upon what we said from the principles and the knowledge and the ma'rif and the deen and the taqwa, the sheikh said earlier, based upon that, if you know that, then yes, you can get involved. But if you don't have those qualifications and those characteristics and the knowledge of what we mentioned, and you don't know the details, and you don't know, you weren't taught, and you don't know about this, then obviously you don't get involved in this issue. Because if you got involved in the issue, the end result and what your condition is, your waqi', is going to be problematic. That's the first point. The second point, he said, not everyone who wants good is successful at accomplishing the good or receiving the good. A person like the one who asked this question, he may call a scholar up and he says to the scholar, "Ya Sheikh, do you advise for me? Can I get into medicine to become a doctor, a medical doctor? Can I get involved? What do you think, Sheikh?" The Sheikh says, yeah, go ahead, get involved in medicine. This is a good thing, get involved in the medicine. The Sheikh said, now, the one who asked the Sheikh that question, and the Sheikh said, yeah, go ahead, do it, get involved in medicine. Would he start practicing medicine without learning about medicine? Without going through the proper channels to become a medical doctor? Would he just start practicing medicine just like that, just based upon what the Sheikh said? The Sheikh said, of course not. Of course not. So, the person who wants to get involved in this science, he has to have knowledge of what he's doing. He has to know about its usul, its fundamentals. He has to know about its arkan, its pillars. He has to know about the details of it. And if he doesn't, and he gets involved, he's going to be, as we mentioned, like the individual who gets into the war, and he engages in a war, and he does not have his weapon. The next question is, they asked the Sheikh, could you please explain to us this new word that we're hearing a lot? The word is a tamyi', or a person who is mumayyiz, as it relates to a jarh wa ta'dil. Anyone can interpret that?
نحن ذكرنا في النقطة النقاط الأولى أن علم الجرح والتعديل علم منضبط له قدره وقيمته. أن نجاوز به قدره فهذا غلو، وأن ننقصه قيمته فهذا تقصير. وبالتالي فالذين ينقصون هذا العلم قدره هم أهل التمييع، والذين لا يعطونه حقائقه وأصوله هم أهل التمييع، والذين يخرجون به عن طوره هم أهل التمييع، والذين يزيدون به حده هم أهل الغلو بالمقابل. فكما أن التمييع مردود مرفوض، كذلك فإن الغلو ومجاوزة الحد أيضا أمر مردود ومرفوض. وهذه الكلمة قد يقولها كل أحد لكل أحد، إذا لم توافقني في شيء قد أقول لك أنت مميع، وإذا لم أوافقك في شيء قد تقول لي أنت مغال. ولكن رد الأمور والمصطلحات إلى حقائقها هو الذي ينهي هذه الأمور التي أصبح الكلام فيها سهلا وميسورا. يكفي أن تقول فلان من أهل الغلو، أو أن تقول فلان من أهل التمييع. هذا ليس هو الشرع، وليس هو الهدى، وليس هو الدين. الشرع والعلم والهدى والدين وضع الأمور التي هي من الحق في إطارها الحق. غلوا فهو مردود، تقصيرا فهو مردود. أما بمجرد المخالفة ودون معرفة الأسباب أو البواعث أو النتائج، أن يتهم بعضنا بعضا بالتمييع حينا وبالغلو حينا آخر، فهذا سبيل أهل البدع وطريق أهل الجهل وأبواب أهل الضلال. ونحن ننزه إخواننا ونربأ بأنفسنا أن نكون على هذا النحو.
Now the Sheikh Ikhwani said concerning this particular point, we have already mentioned in the beginning of our talk the first points that were mentioned. We talked and we told you that the knowledge of ajarh wa ta'dil, it was mundabit. It was comprehensive and it's connected and it has its balance. He said we already told you that we don't make the knowledge of jarh wa ta'dil our everything. We don't go overboard in it with ghulu by giving it all of our attention, nor to ignore it. We don't ignore it in its totality as well. Because if you ignored it in its totality, this is a taqseer. So those people who refuse to recognize al-jarh wa ta'dil as a bona fide science and knowledge that is used to protect the religion, then those people have a tamyi', those people who try to push it away, who try to disregard it, don't give it its proper place, they have tamyir, or they water it down. They water it down. The Sheikh said, and also the people who go overboard, and it is everything, and it's all that they talk about, and it's all that they busy themselves with, this is ghulu. This is going overboard, as we mentioned. So we already told you that to have tamyir, to have taqsir, not to give it its proper due, and to give it its qadr, and to give it its consideration, we said this is rejected. And also, to have ghulu and to go overboard, and to make it everything you deal with, this is also rejected. Another thing that the Sheikh mentioned, which is strange, that is happening today now, is that everybody can accuse the other person with one of these two descriptions. If you don't agree with me, I'll say to you, you're mumayyiz, you're watering it down, you're too light, you're too soft, you're too easy. And then when we talk about an individual, if I don't agree with you, you'll say, I'm going overboard. So everybody is using, and this is the strange thing, everyone is using these two opposites against his opponent. If you don't agree with me, I say that you're a mumayyiz. If I don't agree with you, you'll say that I'm going overboard. So the Sheikh said, this is not how these issues are dealt with. These issues are knowledge-based. So they should be coupled with the hujjah and the burhan and the dalil. It's so easy for people to come and to do what's being done right now, where they're saying, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. You have ghulu, you have mumayyiz, you have tamyiz. The Sheikh said, our religion is not like that. Our shara is a shara of huda, is a shara of ilm. So we have to take all of the affairs and we put the haq and we address the affairs with the haq and we put them where they belong. What is ghulu is rejected, and what is taqsir and tamyir, watered down, falling short of the mark, that is also rejected. That I'm sorry to say, but now, he said, مجرد المخالفة, simply because someone differs with another person. Simply because of the ikhtilaf, the fact that you differ. The Shaykh, he said, unfortunately, simply because a person differs with another person, and he doesn't see it the way that person sees it, or he doesn't know why that individual, he doesn't know and understand why that individual took his position that differs from that person's position, simply because that we start to hurl accusations and abuses of you are mumayyiz and you are going overboard and you're underboard. Sheikh said, this is not the way of the people who are the true people of the knowledge of jahl wa ta'dil. This is the way of the people of al-bid'ah, ahl al-bid'ah and ahl al-dalalah. And it should be avoided altogether. The Sheikh, he said, unfortunately, simply because a person differs with another person and he doesn't see it the way that person sees it, or he doesn't know why that individual, he doesn't know and understand why that individual took his position that differs from that person's position, simply because that we start to hurl accusations and abuses of you are mumayyiz and you are going overboard and you're underboard. Sheikh said, this is not the way of the people who are the true people of the knowledge of jahl wa ta'dil. This is the way of the people of al-bid'ah, ahl al-bid'ah and ahl al-dalalah. And it should be avoided altogether. اقرأ الذي عندك.
السؤال الأخير يقول الأخ السائل: بعض إخواننا من أهل الحديث من الهند والباكستان ينكرون التسمي بالسلفية ويقولون بأنها بدعة، والذي ورد في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل الحديث، فما هو التوجيه في ذلك؟ التوجيه في ذلك أن هذا خطأ، كما أن لفظ أهل الحديث لم يرد في الكتاب ولا في السنة، كذلك لفظ السلفية لم يرد في الكتاب والسنة، وإنما هذا وصف دلالة وبيان إشارة، فالسلفية نسبة إلى السلف، وأهل الحديث نسبة إلى الحديث، وأهل السلف كانوا إلا أهل حديث وإلا أهل سنة وإلا أهل قرآن وعقيدة، لذلك نحن نقول بأن هذه مصطلحات تشير إلى وقائع لا نوالي ولا نعادي عليها، كما نقول علم العقيدة. هل ورد لفظ علم العقيدة في الكتاب والسنة؟
لا.
عندما نقول علم النحو، هل ورد لفظ علم النحو في الكتاب والسنة؟ عندما نقول علم الجرح والتعديل، هل ورد لفظ علم الجرح والتعديل في الكتاب والسنة؟ لا. وإنما هذه تسميات ونسب على وقائع علمية صحيحة، فالنظر يكون على الوقائع، وإنما هذه الأسماء كما أشرت دلالات عليها، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh, he said for the last point that there are some brothers from Ahl al-Hadith in Hind and Pakistan. They are people from the group, they call themselves Ahl al-Hadith. They are found in Hind and in Pakistan. They say that it is not correct to call ourselves Salafi, to use that term Salafi, but what we should use is Ahl al-Hadith, because Salafi was not mentioned. It was not mentioned in the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should call ourselves Ahl al-Hadith, because Salafi and Salafiyin was not mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah, but al-Hadith was mentioned. The Sheikh said this question and their position, this statement is incorrect, it's wrong. He said the statement Ahlul Hadith, there's no ayat, there's no hadith that mentions it as that as well. Just as there's no ayat and no hadith that says Salafiyya, Salafiyin, there's no ayat, there's no hadith that says Ahlul Hadith like that. So Salafiyya and Ahlul Hadith are two terms that they're not mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah like that, but they are the wasful dalala. They are description of something. They are describing a situation, the Shaykh said. One, a Salafiyya is a nisbah or a connection that people are making to the Salaf. And Ahlul Hadith, this is a description which is connecting the people to something, which is the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in both cases, al-Salafiyya and al-Hadith, both of them are busying themselves and connecting themselves to the Hadith and Aqidah and the Quran and the Sunnah and what is pure and what is correct. The Shaykh said, these mustalahat, they are only isharat. They are only guidelines, or they're only pointing to a reality. They're only describing a reality. It is something that we do not make al-wala wal-bara based upon this Salafiyya, the word. Make wala wal-bara based upon the word Ahl al-Hadith. He said, no. Do we have, as it relates to this Salafiyya, the word not being mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah, as well as Ahl al-Hadith not being mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, do we have ilm al-Quran being mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? Do we have the ilm of al-Nahr being mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? The ilm of the Sunnah being mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? The ilm of al-Jarh wa ta'dil, is that mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? No. The ulama came up with this terminology in order to show the waqai, the reality of what we're living, and it's just a description of what our reality is. What's important is that we don't make wala wa bara on these issues. So with that, ikhwan, we bring this session to a close, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of us, and thanking the Shaykh for his input. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.